And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I came across a story about two fellows by the name of Jim and Ron. Both went to the same church. Jim went to church one Sunday morning. He heard the organist miss a note, and he winced. He saw a teen talking when someone else was praying. He felt certain the usher was watching to see what he put in the offering plate, and it just made him boil. Five times, by actual count, he caught the preacher in a slip of the tongue mistake. During the invitation, he slipped out the side door, all the while muttering to himself, "What a waste of time." Ron was in the same service. He heard the pianist play an arrangement of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and he was stirred to worship by the majesty of it. A special missions offering was received, and he was glad his church was doing what they could for people around the world. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It really spoke to a need in his life. He thought as he shook the preacher's hand and left, "How can anyone come here and not feel the presence of the Lord?" Both men went to the same church the same day. Each heard the same music, the same message, but their experiences were totally different. What made the difference? What made the difference? The truth is very simple. Both men found what they were looking for. They came to church, but how they came to church made all the difference in what they got out of church that day. Now, we all know that attending church is an important thing in our Christian life. In fact, it is commanded by God that we attend church together. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So we are not to forsake our gathering together. We're not to forsake coming to church. And when we miss church, we actually are disobeying God because he's told us to not forsake coming together and fellowshipping. So when it comes to church attendance, apparently there are many who are prevented from attending because of a particular disease. Did you know that? There's a particular disease that strikes church members. It's called morbus sabbaticus. It means Sunday sickness. The symptoms vary, but interferes with the appetite. Never lasts more than 24 hours. The attack comes on suddenly every Sunday morning. Strangely, there are no symptoms that are felt on Sunday night. The patient sleeps well and wakes up feeling well. He or she eats a hearty breakfast, but about the time it's ready to get ready to go to church, the attack comes on. It continues until the morning service is over with. The patient then eats a hearty lunch, and throughout the afternoon, he or she feels much better, but then about the time the evening service is about to begin, the attack suddenly comes on again. When they wake up Monday morning, there remain no symptoms of the sickness, and they are able to go to work. Now, hopefully here, nobody has this terrible sickness, morbus sabbaticus. Now, today I want to talk to you about coming to church, but my objective is not getting you to feel guilty about coming to church or not coming to church. It's not to talk simply about your need for church, but specifically how to come to church. Okay, again, us pastors and preachers are very good at telling you people what to do, okay? But telling you how to do it is an entirely different matter, okay? So I'm not here today to tell you what to do to go to church, as much as I'm here to tell you how to come to church. So let's open the instruction manual on the Christian life and learn what the Bible has to say about coming to church. Number one, and if you got outlines, some of you have asked for outlines and you have those there. I think I forgot to put number one, the privilege of coming to church. So you might have to write that in. The privilege of coming to church. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The word glad is most often translated rejoice. So the psalmist said, I rejoiced when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. It literally means to brighten up. It was the bright part of his day. It was the highlight of his week. I was rejoicing. I was glad. I brightened up at the prospect of coming to the house of the Lord. When someone said to the psalmist, let's go to church, this big smile crossed his face. And he said, I'm glad, I rejoice at the very thought of church. And so he didn't look at attending church as a burden, but a blessing. It was not drudgery, but a delight. And as for the psalmist, his reaction reveals that he considered it a privilege to go to the house of God. So his very words describe, A, how excited he was. How excited he was to go to church. On Sunday, some people get out of bed, you probably heard this, and they say, good morning, Lord. Others get out of bed and they say, good Lord, it's morning. Some, after a furious struggle, manage to get and lift one leg out of the side of bed and say, oh, I've got to get up and get ready for church. On the other hand, there are some who jump up and say, praise the Lord, it's Sunday. I get to go to church today. Now, if there's anything that we should get excited about, it is going to church. You know that you can judge what a person loves by what gets them excited. What we get excited about tattletales on us because it lets us know what, and others know what we really care about. So if you love going to church, you'll be excited about it. Furthermore, his words also describe how eager he was. Someone said to the psalmist, let us go into the house of God. You will note that he did not begin offering any excuses on why he couldn't go. I read about one pastor who got tired of listening to the same old excuses for people who didn't attend church. So he wrote the following item titled, 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. Same reasons people give for not going to church. 10 reasons I never wash. He put those in the church bulletin. They are, I was made to wash as a child. People who wash are hypocrites. They reckon they are cleaner than other people. There are so many different kinds of soap, I could never decide which one was right. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I still wash on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. None of my friends wash. I'm still young. When I'm older and get a bit dirtier, I might start washing. I don't really have time. The bathroom is never warm enough. And people who make soap are only after your money. The psalmist didn't offer up any excuses why he couldn't go, but he rejoiced that he was able to get involved. And so he revealed an eagerness to go to church. It's a privilege. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So coming to church is a privilege. Second of all, I want to look at the purpose of coming to church. What is the purpose? The psalmist said in verse 2, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now, this is a place where the children of Israel came together for their solemn feasts. The psalmist says that this is where his feet would stand, or this is where he would make his abode. What is he talking about? He's talking about being faithful to the house of God. And again, I can't stress the importance enough of being faithful to church. And yet, again, that's not really our focus here. The focus is, what is the reason for being faithful? And how do we be faithful? God doesn't command us to come to church without a reason. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reason behind, a divine purpose behind our coming to church. If coming to church is to be what God intended it to be, then there has to be a purpose for it. God doesn't tell us to do anything without there being a purpose behind it. Now, some people come Some people come to church because they feel that they should come to church. And that's a good place to start. They know that they ought to be in church, and so they come to church. Now, if you come to church only for that reason, though, you will miss out on the great blessings that church is designed to bring into your life. If you just come out of duty, you won't get the blessing that God intended for you to get when you come to church. So let me suggest to you three reasons why we come to church, and this is how to come to church. The first is to meet the family of God. We come to church so that we can meet up with the family of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The psalmist said, let what? Let who? Let us. Let us go into the house of the Lord. It was a personal matter, but it also involved others. That word us indicates that. And as you read through the psalm, you find that there are a collective number of people that are described. In verse 2, he says, our feet, plural. In verse 4, he uses the plural tribes. In verse 6, he says they. In verse 8, he speaks of his brethren and companions. The psalmist is talking about his spiritual family. The psalmist says there should be actual times of the year when the tribes and the families of the children of Israel come to Jerusalem to celebrate these solemn feasts and to worship the Lord. It was to be a collective assembly of the people of God together. The church is the place where the family of God gathers on the Lord's Day. It's a place where those who are saved assemble together as a redeemed family, as being in one accord, as being one unit. Now, for those who say they don't need to go to church, I remind them that they are a part of a spiritual family, and church is the place where the family is to gather together. I think of the words of John Donne, who said, "No man is an island to himself." That's right. And he went on to say that any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. None of us are an island unto ourselves. We're part of something greater. We're part of something bigger. We're part of the family of God. And as a family, they have the need for each other. Because every believer brings to the table gifts and assets that benefit the whole family, the whole body of Christ as a whole. See, when you are not here, we miss out. We're lacking. We're lacking your gifts. We're lacking the asset that you are to this family, to the body of Christ. Together, we come to minister to each other, to build each other up, and to strengthen one another, and to encourage one another. You may not even realize some days that you have been a blessing to somebody. Maybe it was just a smile. Maybe it was just a pat on the back. Maybe it was just that you've noticed them. Maybe you prayed for them. Maybe you offered some word of encouragement. We gather together as a family to minister to each other because we need each other. We need each other. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day of the Lord is coming. You see the day of His return approaching. Exhorting one another speaks of comforting another, consoling one another. So we come to church with people who are like-minded, who think like we think, who believe like we believe, who feel the same way that we do, that live in the same way we do, and we encourage them. We encourage each other in the same things we desire. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. What's Paul saying? He's simply saying this, that if you hang around with the wrong crowd, people who don't have good manners, are not living the Christian lifestyle, you are going to pick up on their life. And you will end up doing the same things that they do. You know, a good example is young people today. Why do young people end up doing drugs and drinking and doing these things that we cringe at the thought of? It's because they've got it together with the wrong crowd. I don't know if anyone who ever started drinking or doing drugs by themselves. Usually somebody got them involved in that. Usually it was meeting up with a friend or something like that. And so they're influenced in the wrong way by what they did. And the implication of what the writer is saying is that as God's people, we are to fellowship with God's people because we are to encourage each other to do right and to stand strong for the Lord. We are around people who then influence us to do right and not do wrong. That's why we come to church. That's one reason, because we have a spiritual family. We are an encouragement to another, and when we are around our spiritual family, we draw strength from each other. And so in verse 3, the psalmist said, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. He's talking about the unity of the city in its design and structure. And there's a unity about the family of God that is designed for the spiritual welfare of God's people. We are not an island. Again, we are not an island off to ourselves. If we do, we cut ourselves off from the blessings and benefits of being a part of a family. And so we are come together. We are compact together. God has designed it that way. Secondly, we come to church to hear the Word of God. To hear the Word of God. The psalmist said in verse 4, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. Now, one of the reasons the people of God assembled together is for the testimony of Israel. This spake specifically of the Ark of the Covenant that was kept in the most holy place of the temple. In the Ark of that Covenant were the tablets of stone in which the Ten Commandments were written, which were a summary of the laws of God's people. It speaks to us of hearing the Word of God. So one of the reasons we come to church is so that we can hear the Word of God. We can hear God as He speaks to us through the preaching. Paul said, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so notice there that the preacher is to do three things. He is to reprove, he is to rebuke, and he is to exhort. And the word reprove literally means to convince or to convict, to tell a fault. Now, I know some people don't like it, and we sometimes kid about the pastor stepping on our toes. And somebody remarked, well, I'll walk on the bottoms, and preacher, you can walk on the tops. Sometimes we do step on people's toes through our preaching, and we point out sins and the sins of the people. On one occasion, William Gladstone, Prime Minister of England, said, one thing I have against the clergy, I think they are not severe enough on congregations. They do not sufficiently lay upon the souls and consciences of their hearts and bring up their whole lives and actions to bear to the bar of conscience. The class of sermons which I think are most needed are of the class which once offended Lord Melbourne. Lord Melbourne was seen coming from church in the country in great anger. Finding a friend, he exclaimed, it is too bad. I have always been a supporter of the church, and I have always upheld the clergy. But it is really too bad to have to listen to a sermon like what we heard this morning. Why, the preacher actually insisted upon applying religion to a man's private life. Well, that is the kind of preaching that we need the most, right? We need to know how to apply the Word of God to our everyday lives, to the areas that we need the most. And sometimes the things that we want to hear the least are the things that we need the most. So sometimes we might not like it, but that kind of preaching is needed. We are reproved. Our sins are pointed out. But also preaching is to rebuke. And this is a strong word, meaning to censure or admonish, by implication to forbid. So preaching should not only call attention to sin, but it should forbid you to become involved in that sin, to censure it. Someone told G. Campbell Morgan that the preacher must catch the spirit of the age. Immediately, this great preacher answered, "God forgive the preacher who does that. The preacher's business is to correct the spirit of the age." We live in an age where so-called experts and models of church growth are telling us that, you guys, if you want to build your churches, you have to tone down your messages. You cannot preach against sin. You cannot mention heaven or hell. You cannot talk about the judgment of God on sin. There's a Hebrew word for that kind of thinking. It's hogwash. Because preaching is to reprove, and it's also to rebuke. Hey, thank you for that. And then preaching is to exhort. Preaching is not all about confronting sin. It's also sometimes to bring comfort. To bring comfort. It's been said that preaching should comfort the godly and make the ungodly uncomfortable. So people need encouraging. They need comforting. Dr. R.W. Dale, a British pastor of another generation, made this response to a young preacher who insisted that ministers must preach relevantly to the times. "Young man, don't preach to the times. Go and preach to broken hearts, and you will preach to their real needs. You will be relevant if you preach to their broken heart." There are times when people come to church, and we might not even know, but they're sitting on that pew, and they're hurting, and they're suffering, and they're struggling with the things that they are facing in life. There is an element of preaching that should encourage their hearts and point them to the one, the only one, who can help them with all of their problems. How many of you believe that Jesus is still the answer? Amen. He is. Jesus is still the answer to your need, your problem, whatever situation you are facing in life, whatever you are going through. The best thing that I can do is preach you to the one who is the all-sufficient one, who is the answer to your need. Understanding what preaching is to be helps one understand why we need preaching in our life. We need the man of God to take the word of God, to point out our failures and sins so that we can be right with God. You know, some of the best times I've ever had, some of the times I felt the closest to God, is after I have been convicted of a sin in my life and repented of that and found myself then in the loving arms of God getting forgiveness. And then we need to hear God's word applied to our situation so that we can cast our burdens on Him, because He cares for us and He wants to take the burdens of life that we have and carry it on His shoulders. So we come to church for fellowship. We come to church to hear the word of God. And thirdly, we come to church to worship the person of God. To worship the person of God. The closing words of verse 4 say, "To give thanks unto the name of the Lord." This really is the ultimate purpose. It is the ultimate reason for coming to church. We come to church first and foremost to worship God. We often think of church as a place where we go to get something. I've heard people say, I just didn't get anything out of the service today. And I'm usually pretty kind. And I think things, but I don't say. Well, the question comes to my mind, well, did you put anything in to the service today? Kind of like the visiting preacher who they didn't take an offering from him. They simply had a box in the back. And this is where people were to put their money, their gifts. And so the preacher came in, he saw that box, he put a quarter in. And he came and he preached the service and he left. And The pastor said, here, this whatever is in this box is yours. Guess what was in there? Quarter. Little boy turned to his dad, the evangelist, and said, Dad, if you'd have put more in, you would have gotten more out. Same way with church. If we put more in, we'll get more out of it. So, and we should get things out of church. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But we should be willing to give something rather than just get something. We go to church to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We come to church saying, Lord, bless me. When the Lord is saying, bless me. The older I get, the more thankful I am that I was raised in a church, you know, where praise was common. You know, I cut my spiritual teeth on services where people were not ashamed to be in the presence of God. Not ashamed to be in the presence of the Lord. They would shout, they would praise, they would say amen, they would lift their hands. You'd hear words like glory and hallelujah. People were unashamed to worship the Lord. And we need to be that way today. I know that Dr. Deadhart and Reverend Dry Soul says that the kind of thinking is out of order. But I just happen to think that it blesses and pleases the heart of God. When He sees us excited and enthusiastic about worshiping Him. This is the place. This is the place, church. This is the church family where we can come and we can unashamedly give thanks unto the name of the Lord together. So now let me ask the question again. How should we come to church? First, we should come to church with a glad heart. We should come with excitement and eagerness. Secondly, we should come to church with the intention of participating in the services. I don't think I'm being unfair when I say that most people who come to church just simply are content to watch what happens. But every Christian should do more than just sit in a service. They should participate in the service. For example, each of us should join in with our brothers and sisters in Christ, singing heartily the songs of Zion, and join in making the time of fellowship a meaningful matter. We should listen carefully and intently to every word of the message, soaking in the precious promises of God. We should be a part of the praise and worship. We're not just watching those who are up here leading us in worship. That's what they're doing. They're leading us in worship. They're not up here just worshiping for themselves. They're up here leading us in worship. We should all worship together. Now, if you really want to get something from the services, put something in them. If you come to church with a purpose of meeting the family of God, hearing the Word of God, and worshiping the person of God, it will turn the service, really, it will change the whole service. The service is not going to be something dry. The service is going to be something exciting. It is going to be something that blesses your heart. It'll be a wonderful experience. Don't come to church to be a spectator. Come to be a participator. And lastly, let me say a word about the profit of coming to church. The profit. If you come to church for the right reason, if you come to church in the right way, there will be great profit for you, for the Christian life. In the remainder of the psalmist speaks of the city of Jerusalem and certain things that he desires for his beloved and sacred city. There are two particular things that he mentions. And I would like to suggest that these two things that took place in Jerusalem to be blessings for those people are the same things for those who come to church. It'll be a blessing for them as well. The first thing is there is the profit of spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. In verse 6, the psalmist says, they shall prosper that love thee. In verse 7, he speaks of prosperity within thy palaces. The psalmist is praying for the prosperity of the city of Jerusalem. See, when you come to church, you'll experience spiritual prosperity. Our church will experience spiritual prosperity, and that is a great benefit. The prosperity that coming to church brings. I'm not talking about getting that you're necessarily going to get a sudden raise at work. All of a sudden, you're not going to win the lottery without even putting in your name. You're not going to necessarily get a large amount of money, but I'm talking about the spiritual prosperity of the Christian life. Just coming to church will make you a better Christian. There are people who sit in the pews, but they don't let the message of church spill over into the workplace and the rest of the week, the other days of the week. There's a blessing we receive from meeting with the people of God, hearing the word and worshiping the person of God. And there's also, secondly, spiritual peace. Not only spiritual prosperity, but spiritual peace. In verse 6, the psalmist encourages us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in verse 7, he says, peace be within thy walls. He's not only praying for the prosperity of the city, but also for the peace of the city. There's nothing quite like the peace of God that fills someone's heart when they are living and serving Him. To lay down your head on your pillow at night and know that everything is well, everything is right between you and your Creator, is indeed a blessing of God. When we go to the church and we deal with our sins and we receive a word from God that our souls need to hear, then peace begins to flood our souls as well. And what people today would not give for peace? Peace. You know, they've done surveys and they've asked for the top needs that people have. You know what the top three needs that people have? They said if we could have anything in the world, this is what we'd have. We'd have these three things: love, joy, and peace. Isn't it interesting? Those three things just happen to be the first three of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. We can find those things in the Lord. Someone has written, I love to step inside a church to rest and think and pray. The quiet, calm, and holy place can drive all cares away. I feel that from these simple walls there breathes a moving sound of sacred music, murmured prayers, caught in the endless round of all that makes our human life, birth and the nation blessed, of couples at the altar wed and loved ones laid to rest. Into my soul this harmony has poured and now is still. The Lord's own benediction falls upon me as I kneel. Once more, with lifted head, I go out in the jarring mart, the springs of gladness in my step, God's peace about my heart. Someone has said some people never come to church except for their baptism, their marriage, and their funeral, or when they're hatched, matched, and dispatched. Let that not be true of you. I know it's not. But we come to church. Review time here, all right? For three reasons, three main reasons we come to church. We should have these in mind. Because how we come to church will make the difference. All right? You come to church, first of all, for fellowship. To fellowship with family, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You have brothers and sisters that need your encouragement, that need your strength. There are going to be times, yes, when you come and you will need your brothers and sisters. You will need their encouragement. You will need their strength. But you come to church to meet with your family. Secondly, you come to church to hear what? You hear the Word of God. Because the Word will hopefully do one of three things for you that day: reprove, rebuke, or exhort. Okay? Good preaching will do that. And then the third reason you come to church is to worship who? Worship God. Worship the person of God. That is the primary reason why we're here today, is to worship the Lord. Not bless me, but bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? You've been so faithful at making these commitments. First week, as we looked at the Christian's Instruction Manual, most of you, if not all of you, purposed and committed to reading your Bible, reading the Word of God, a portion each day. A little bit each day. We didn't say you had to read for a certain length of time. We just asked you to commit to read, and you did. You did. And then last week, we looked at how to pray. And again, most of you, if not all of you, committed to pray each day. And again, we're not setting a time limit saying you have to pray for a certain amount of time, but you committed to praying. And now I want you to commit not to come to church. That's not the main point of the message, as you know by now, but that you will come to church in the right way. How you come to church. You will come to church to meet the family of God. You'll come to church to hear the word. And you'll come to church to worship God. If you purpose that that's how you want to come to church from now on, just raise your hand again as a sign of commitment to the Lord, up and then down. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Lord, thank you for those that are raising their hands today, committing themselves, Lord, to attend church in the right way. Lord, I know that you will bless them for that. And what they receive from church will be a blessing, although that's not why they're coming to receive. They're coming really to give. But Lord, truly it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you for these commitments today. Bless your people. Meet their needs, Lord, as they've come to minister to you. How often, Lord, we come with our own needs, and yet we minister to you and we minister to others. And in the process, our own needs are taken care of as well. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.